Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Keep your money local. Bring it home to a Wintrust Community Bank, home of Cubs checking with free ATMs nationwide. Find out more at Wintrust.com/Cubs. Member FDIC.
Hey everybody, welcome into the Cubs Talk Podcast, sponsored by Wintrust, as always. I'm Tony Andracki here with Luke Stuckmeyer, Kelly Kroll, David Kaplan. Guys, let's discuss the Cubs hitting coach drama. It's the most recent episode in the soap opera that is the Cubs offseason so far. Anthony Iopase is in the role now. Chili Davis is out. And Davis, speaking to Gordon Whitmire, the Chicago Sun-Times, had some really interesting quotes this week, basically saying he didn't connect with a few players in the clubhouse, took a kind of thinly veiled shot at millennials, which was interesting, and how he delivers his message to millennials. But in general, Luke, we'll start with you. What was your thoughts on Chili Davis's comments to Gordon here?
Well, first of all, I didn't care about the change in hitting coach because I think it's an overrated position in sports, and a lot of times it's a fall guy. I do care about the comments because I think they're interesting. And when he comes out and says, you know, I didn't connect with multiple players on the team, for me the question instantly is, okay, which players? I want to know which players he didn't connect with. Are they the obvious ones, the guys that struggled this year? Is it Contreras? Is it Addison Russell? That's all I really want to know out of this. The difference in philosophy between two hitting coaches, listen, I think it's mostly up to players, but the biggest thing out of this whole story is when he says he didn't connect with players. We all want to know, who is it? Which guys couldn't connect with him? And maybe he's in some ways pointing out, like, they're going to have to change. They have to realize they're being pitched to differently because of the way they used to approach the plate. Now they've got to adjust. So who are the guys?
And he had Chili, speaking of Gordon, he only talked about Ben Zobrist and just said that he had a lot of complimentary things to say, refused to talk about anybody else. So as of right now, doesn't look like we'll actually find out who those players are from Chili anyways. But Kelly, what were your thoughts overall on Chili's kind of candid comments here?
Well, so I'll start with this. I got to talk to Chili quite a bit in the dugouts before the games, and Chili is a tremendous human being and a really, really nice guy. But he does have an old soul and an old kind of mind to the game, if you will. And I watched the interactions between Chili and a lot of the players throughout the year just because it was in front of me and it was something that I wanted to pay attention to as I saw the offense struggling down the stretch. And I will say there became this, I don't want to say changing of the guards, but Andy Haynes started being the one to go around in the clubhouse in the morning and ask guys if they were hitting, if they were headed to the cage instead of Chili. And I thought that was bizarre. But that's not to say Brandon Hyde also gets in there and different guys or different coaches are in there. Are you hitting today? Are you hitting today? Are you going out to toss? Whatever. So I didn't want to read too much into it. But now that I see these quotes, it does change, I think, a lot. And I think, you know, like Luke's saying, you want to know who those guys are, but I think you have a pretty good idea of who those guys are. Who are the ones that pushed back? Who are the ones that started saying, I'm gonna go with Haynes here? And, you know, he's more of a cheerleader than anything. We talked at length with David Bodie about it. That was his guy. And now, you know, they've got a guy that they worked with quite a bit, a lot of these guys in the minors coming in. So I guess my thoughts are, I wish Chili well, because I really think he's a great person. He just wasn't the right fit for this group. And I guess from a Theo Jed standpoint, you get him out, you move somebody else in. But at some point, I think those two probably, well, or just starting with Theo, they're going to have to take some accountability in the fact that this is however many hitting coaches in however many years now. And there's something wrong with that.
You got 6 in 8 years.
There is exactly something wrong with that, and it starts at the top of the food chain. Those guys got to find somebody, and they've got to give somebody a chance to set how they're going to do their hitting plan, and then they got to stick to it. It can't be every year. Now we're hearing rumors about Jim Hickey. Don't know if he's going to survive or not. It can't be every year. Well, we didn't have a good year, so let's launch the hitting coach. Let's launch the pitching coach, and let's go get a new third base coach, and let's shake up the staff again. They might have to look at some of their underachieving players who maybe aren't as good as everybody thought they were going to be after 2016. The other thing is I saw John Mayle's tweet, a retweet of an Athletic article, and it had a quote from him boldly up there at the top that he retweeted where he talked about launch angle and all of that. He loves Anthony Iaposi. He does. That's his guy. But I think he was more than a little offended that they went to this other plan with Chile after this guy took you to World Series and three straight NLCS, and now it's pretty much redeeming. Hey, I guess, John, you knew what you were doing. We were wrong.
Yeah, do you, Tony, I was going to ask you, do you feel like that's kind of Theo's way of saying, well, we made a mistake, and we're going back to what is the protege? I mean, this was Maley's guy. This was the guy under him that he kind of...
Yeah, I think really the main thing is it is credit to Mayle because he was ahead of the game in a way. Launch angle came out in, 2016, 2017 was really when it started. Everybody was using that phrase, but this existed before.
And it's not a fad.
Right. Theo said that as well. But you get the ball up in the air because that's where the slug is. It's not on the ground. That's why guys like Eric Hosmer, people question how much money the Padres were giving him because he hits a ton of ground balls. So he's not this slugging first baseman that is going to hit the ball out of any ballpark he plays. So Mayle was ahead of that. Now if they think Iaposi is as well, I mean, they're going back to this updated thing. And with Chile, what stood out to me the most is he said he doesn't want to lose his identity. This is him talking to Gordon. I know what I know, and I know what I bring is not wrong. But part of me thinks that, maybe that's a little outdated. I mean, this is a guy that played 19 years in the big leagues, hit over 350 homers, well over 2,000 games. But he was done by before the year 2000 hit. It's been almost 20 years since he last played. There might be a little bit of outdated Chile Davis, and maybe he just didn't update things enough. That's kind of where I'm at with it. So I think the Cubs are getting back into line with the way the offense is
now. I had Anthony Rizzo on last week or 2 weeks ago. The NFC was his last hit of the year. And I simply said, hey, what's your thoughts on Chile Davis? And he was still the hitting coach at the time. And if you listen to the point from my question, not just the answer, you hear Anthony kind of pause. Well, it's on us as hitters. But if you listen really closely, I think you would say, I don't think he's all in on Chile Davis.
So I want to go back to what you said, though. So at this point, when you go through multiple hitting coaches, and Jed and Theo have kind of admitted this was the wrong move, but is it really listen, Chile may have been to blame for some of this. I'm not saying that. How much of the blame goes to the players? How much is it the players not being able to adjust to a hitting coach or listen to a hitting coach and take that and put it out on the field?
Well, unless they think his methodology is wrong.
But what if we're going through four or five hitting coaches and it's the same hitters that are – you can't just keep change hitting coach and say, well, we didn't agree with this guy, we didn't agree with this guy. At some point, you got to listen to somebody, too.
It's a legitimate point, but a year ago, Joe Maddon, you were there every day. Joe Maddon kind of mocked launch angle. He did. He's not all in on launch angle. And now your general manager, team president, says launch angle's not a fad. That's a direct shot at your manager. It is.
Yeah.
I think there's an in-between a little bit, too. But I do, going back to kind of what Tony was saying, I think that Chile and you get the sense of reading this article done by Gordon Whitmire that there's part of him searching his identity, too, in that maybe he just couldn't figure out a way to get this message across to, quote-unquote, the millennials. And so maybe the teaching methods are there, but the way he was doing it just wasn't working. And I got the sense, listening to him, he's going to kind of have this self-reflection off-season of, does he have to update the way he's doing things. I mean, he said if I get another job, so he's not even sure if he will. But again, from my conversations with Chile, I certainly got this old school, old soul type of guy, but nice guy. But just wasn't the right fit. It just didn't work. And I think in the end, the players probably ended up being more confused than they were.
Millennials are different now, and I don't mean that in a negative way.
What are you trying to say, Cap?
But I mean, I fall in that category, too. I want everyone to know.
I actually talked to an NBA scout today who happens to be a friend of mine, and he said, dude, you wouldn't believe the calls we get where, hey, you're going to have to go talk to your boy, the head coach. I don't like how he speaks to me in practice. He's like, God, when I can just tell you, that would never have flown 15 years ago. You took what the coach said. Didn't go run to your agent.
Wasn't Chili Davis successful before he got to the Cubs? I'm just not willing to pin everything on Chili Davis. I know, like Rizzo said, listen, it's honest. There's blame to go around everywhere.
No question.
When you see those results, it's not just because you had a hitting coach that couldn't connect with the hitters.
Agreed. John Lester gave a great line to me on the radio maybe 3 months ago where I said, if Jim Hickey wants you to throw a slider with the bases loaded, whose fault is it if that ball gets hit out of the park if you didn't like that pitch? He said, when that ball leaves my fingertips, that's on me. If I don't like the slider and I don't have conviction about it, thank you, Jim, but I'm not throwing it. He goes, if I throw it, it's me, not him.
I heard that with you on the radio, though, and just in this conversation we're having, keep in mind, John Lester, how old he is, what era kind of he comes from baseball.
He's old school.
And I'll tell you what, I'm not gonna mention any names in that Cubs clubhouse, but there are younger pitchers in there who won't go that far. And I'm with John Lester. When it comes out of his hands, it's his decision. There are younger pitchers in there, though, who I know, same deal, have not connected with Jim Hickey. And this whole thing's going on with some of the younger pitchers on that staff as well. So I think it's interesting moving forward. And you're right, the whole millennial sort of, you know, theories and how you work with them, how you coach them is an interesting dynamic.
When do millennials start? Because that's what's important to me right now.
It's supposed to be like 85-ish. That's roughly when, because it was baby boomers, right? Is that right? I don't know.
It's a little before
85.
It's like 83 to something else. Yeah.
It's almost
everybody in Major League Baseball is a millennial right
except
now.
Almost every professional athlete except for Tom Brady is a millennial right now.
And Bartolo Colon, not
Bartolo
millennial.
Cologne, yeah.
Everybody else, millennial.
All right, why don't we figure out exactly where millennials started, and we're going to take a quick break here on the podcast, come back and talk more about Chili Davis and who's to blame for the Cubs offense.
We love you, millennials.
Cubs authentic fans, the My Teams app by NBC Sports is your home for Cubs highlights, articles, and more. For the best Cubs coverage anytime, anywhere, download the My Teams app today.
All right, welcome back into the Cubs Talk podcast. We're talking about millennials and how they fit in with the Cubs. But in reality, we're talking about who's to blame. And quick aside, we talk a lot about Chili Davis. I do think he deserves a lot of credit for Javi Baez. He had an MVP season under Chili Davis. Not that, obviously, all this credit goes to Chili Davis. At some point, Javi is probably going to break out, regardless of who's hitting coach. But Ben Zobrist had, you know, his best batting average season.
Jason Hayward came around at a point, and I remember in spring training, he was way high on Chili Davis for the things that they were all trying to do. Now, I don't know where Jason Hayward stood by the end of the season, but I know in spring, he was all over, and we finally saw him kind of come through at one point.
Well, yeah, and I mean, all these different guys. I mean, Rizzo, as you mentioned already, Cap, like, Rizzo's Rizzo. He's been declining strikeouts and trying to improve walks, try to use the whole field as much as he can, regardless of who the hitting coach is.
He had a great two-strike approach.
He does, and he had that well before, you know, Chili Davis. He had that under John Mailey. But I think just in general, this all looks different with Chris Bryant if he's actually the Chris Bryant that, like, we thought he could be. Because KB looked like a better version of himself for the first 6 weeks of the season. And, like, yeah, yell small sample size, whatever, but he was going the other way more. He had cut down on strikeouts. He had suddenly become a contact hitter without losing a ton of power. For 6 to 7 weeks before he hurt his shoulder, Chris Bryant looked like the best version of Chris Bryant possible. Cubs offense was fine. After he got hurt, everything changed a little bit. So when you have an MVP-type caliber guy in the lineup, it makes everybody else feel more comfortable. So next year, regardless of who the hitting coach is, if Bryant's back, every hitting coach is going to look a lot smarter with this Cubs.
You wrote about Bryant, about that, about how he was on a path for historic-type numbers with the Cubs. And if he doesn't get hurt, How far do the Cubs go? I don't know. Does it completely change the offense enough?
They win the division.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
You potentially have two MVPs playing in one lineup. That makes your lineup really different.
Let's just make it even more micro. If KB is healthy, they win the wild card game. That, I can even just say that. They score one run in 13 innings when he went 1-for-6 with a bloop.
Like, if he's healthy, they don't need a wild card.
Even that,
game. They
yeah.
win the division.
I'm with Luke.
Yeah. They've won the division, and they're waiting to play somebody if Chris Bryant's healthy.
So moving forward then, how much, obviously a lot is on the players, as you mentioned, Luke, but what do they do with this message, with the hitting coach? I mean, how do the players take everything that happened with Chili Davis and actually learn from it and move forward? Because right now, I don't know what that answer is.
I mean, that has to be a message from Theo, right? I mean, at some point, Theo has to look at these guys and say, listen, we've changed hitting coaches. You guys haven't been happy with it. We haven't been happy with the production. And we've done this many years, but at some point, this pattern has to change.
It's on you guys. But yeah. I also think there's going to be more impactful change than we've seen since Theo got here. They're not in the acquire young prospect mode. They're in the win the World Series mode. I will be shocked if they don't try and put Anthony Iaposi into the best possible position for success.
What was the quote from Theo the day after the season? It's not about...
It's not about potential anymore. It's about production.
So, I mean, there you go. That tells you right away that changes are coming. And he didn't mean the hitting coach.
Correct.
And he proved it, too. The whole Cubs front office did. Daniel Murphy trade tells you what they thought of all those young hitters. And like we said, maybe if Chris Bryant was healthy, Daniel Murphy doesn't even happen, you know, where that goes. But Madden credited Murphy coming in and really changing that lineup for a while because of his mature approach, because of his two-strike approach, because how he hits with runners in scoring position. And that's where I think that's different as well. I mean, Zobrist and Murphy, and, you know, for most of, to a larger extent, Rizzo as well, those guys hit with runners in scoring position. Two outs, one out, doesn't matter. A lot of these other guys, KB included, struggle because they're young. This is an area that it takes a lot of maturation to get that. With two strikes or with two outs trying to get the guy home. Even Javi struggled at times trying to get the runner home from third with less than two outs. All these things, it's just tough to do that with all these young guys who just are not at the Zobrist level of production where they've been doing this for 10 to 15 years and they have that long track record to fall back on.
Is there anybody more important to have bounce back at the plate than Wilson Contreras?
Chris Bryant,
but I'm assuming...
Healthy, yeah.
He goes back to swinging potentially the way he did. I mean, he changed his whole swing mid-season just to try and be on the field. So I'm assuming Chris Bryant will get back to the path that he was on that Tony talked
Contreras
about.
Contreras or Addison Russell if he's here.
So I just think it's Contreras. For me, if you would ask me at this point last year, which player do you think is going to have the breakout season, be in the conversation for MVP that hasn't been before, so taking out Bryant out of the conversation – it wouldn't have necessarily been Javi. For me, it would have been Wilson Contreras, and it just didn't happen. It flipped the other way.
Those were the two names, and Tony was there on the last day Theo was speaking to the media after all the exit interviews. The two names he brought up specifically and said they will never have a season again like they had this year. It was Chris Bryant and Wilson Contreras. So he felt the same way, I'm sure.
And one of the things going back to Chile as well, with both of those guys and Russell, as you mentioned, these guys all moved a little closer to the plate in an effort to try to hit the ball to right field, especially KB and Contreras. Early on, part of the reason why KB was getting hit so much is because he had moved closer and he was trying to cover that outer half of the plate.
Rizzo does that all the time.
Right, he does, but it's different for different guys. And then Addison Russell, everything they wanted to do under Chili Davis was reduce strikeouts. Russell did that. They wanted to go the other way. Russell did that more. They wanted to hit line drives and not worry about fly balls. Russell did that. He did everything they asked, and his average and on-base percentage actually went up, but his power went down. It kind of
disappeared.
Proves, yeah, and that's why like this approach doesn't work for every guy. So if you try to do this one-size-fits-all thing for every hitter, it doesn't necessarily work out that way and make a guy a productive member of the lineup.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see what they do with Addison Russell. Because a good Addison Russell, good Wilson Contreras, as Luke said, lengthens your lineup. That lineup became really short.
I think that Iaposi, given his relationship with these guys, you know, however many years ago, when in the minors specifically, I'm kind of with you, Tony. I think that I don't know, and it'll be really interesting to talk to him when we do get a chance, but I've got a feeling he's not an all or nothing kind of guy. No. I have a feeling he's more this works for this guy, this works for this guy, and finding, and that was in conversations with Andy Haynes. That's where I felt like he always kind of was trying to play the devil's advocate to Chili Davis, and the cheerleader behind him was kind of, after sessions would be done, it was sort of, well, find what's comfortable for you, go, just believe in yourself, go out there again. That was his role. But at some point, these guys have to do it on their own.
It's pretty rare to find a professional athlete that doesn't have, and I don't mean this in a bad way, professional athletes have egos, right? I mean, you don't get to, very rarely do you see someone get to the top of a sport without thinking, you know what, this is my team. They all at some point think it's their team. They all think they're doing it the right way. But the players that become great players, almost all will tell you that their career was made when they started to make adjustments. Other teams made adjustments to them. They made adjustments to the pitching.
That's the
or
hardest
whatever
thing
it is.
To do.
That's the hardest thing to do. And if that means listening to a different voice, maybe next year a different hitting coach, and really soaking in what that person's saying, you have to trust that person. And I guess they didn't trust Chili Davis.
Don't forget, you're going into a season that could be filled with turmoil. Joe Maddon's going to be in his final year. And if the thing doesn't get off the tracks really quickly, there's going to be speculation depending on what they spend this winter. I mean, it could be an interesting clubhouse and a dynamic for you to cover.
And it'll be completely new. Maybe not completely new, but it'll be new because some of these guys probably will not be there next year. In what capacity, we don't know. But as we talk about the production and everything else, I mean, they're going to have to make some.
Well, if they go out and buy Bryce Harper or Manny Machado,
that's huge.
You're going to have a big-time offensive bat. But if they don't get off to a good start with those type of commitments, they'll change managers.
Well, you know where you find all this stuff is the new My Teams app that we have out, too, by the way.
That's Luke, all, I was know, tweeting
a,
about
a guy
that
comes
today.
Out, they pick him up. All of a sudden, they get Bryce Harper. Boom, it's on the My Teams app, and we
That's
write an article
great
about
point, Luke.
Our new app. It's no, really, people should check it out. It's pretty
sick. Yeah, you can now
sick.
Download it. Go to the App Store, Google Play, whatever it is. Get the My Teams app. It's awesome.
Hey, you can follow just the Cubs if you want.
Get
you
your
don't have
Cubs
to follow
page. That's right.
All right, that's this a great way to end this podcast.
This is for Chicago sports fans.
All right, that'll end our Cubs Talk podcast. Again, we are sponsored by WinTrust.
Welcome,
Head to wintrust.com/Cubs for more info. And check out our My Teams app.